So the Warden of Heaven was brought here in his spacesuit. He kept wanting to take it off. We advised against it. When he came into this room, he saw it as a kind of holy place, and insisted that the risk of removing his suit was acceptable, that his God would watch over him and keep him safe. So off came the suit. He became short of breath. Our physicians tried to reassemble the suit around him, but this did not help matters, for he had already suffered the bursting of a major blood vessel. The physicians next tried to put him in a cold hyperbaric chamber, a therapy in which they are well practiced. He was stripped naked and readied for the procedure, but it was too late. He died. A debate followed as to what should be done with the body. While some of us debated, overzealous researchers took samples of his blood and tissues and commenced an autopsy. So the body had already been desecrated, if you will. Prageshwar made the decision that any effort to apologize would be taken as a sign of weakness, and that any sharing of information would only benefit Abr. And two, for internal political reasons, she was inclined to show contempt, or at least disregard, for the body, because she had made it into a symbol for me. Hence the style in which the Warden of Heaven was returned.
But it backfired, I said. Didn't it?
Yes. Those of the Fulcrum were embarrassed and ashamed, and conceived a plan to make an exchange of blood for blood. As we had taken samples of blood from the Warden of Heaven's body, they would convey samples of our blood to the surface of Ab. We had detected signals from the planet, which, as we later learned, had been sent by Fra Orlo. These took the form of an analemma. Jules Verne Durand had become the foremost authority on Orth and on the Avout. He was covertly sympathetic to the Fulcrum. He interpreted Orlo's signal as pointing to Ekba, and suggested that it would have profound symbolic value to deliver the samples there. He even volunteered to go down on the probe. But at about the same time, he was ordered to go on the raid to the consent of the Matarites, and so was no longer available. Lys went in his stead, without his knowledge, of course, for she had learned much of the Avout and even a few words of Orth from Jules. It went wrong, and she was shot while boarding the probe, as you know.
We let a few moments pass, untroubled by words.
Since then, things have moved fast. I would say that Prageshwar has done what Prags do, which is...
React tactically with no thought of strategy,
Jad said.
Yes, it led us to this pass. 31 have been slain by your Fras and Surs, from the Ringing Veil, I presume.
Fra Jad made no response, but Gon Odru looked my way and I nodded. He continued,
87 more are held hostage. Your colleagues herded them into a chamber and welded the doors shut.
A misinterpretation,
Fra Jad said.
Such people do not take hostages, so the 87 were put in that room to keep them safely out of the way.
Prageshwar interprets it, rightly or wrongly, as hostage-taking, and prepares a response with one hand. With her other hand, she has reached out to me and asked me to discuss matters with you. She is shaken. I don't really know why. The large bomb that was destroyed has always been a weapon of last resort. No one would seriously consider using it.
Pardon me, Gon Odru, but the pedestal was getting ready to launch it, I blurted.
As a threat, yes. To hang above your planet and exert pressure. But that is its only real use. I don't understand why its loss has shaken Prageshwar so deeply.
It didn't,
Fra Jad said.
Prageshwar sensed terrible danger.
How would you know this?
Gan Odru asked politely.